underneath the water. It was huge black mat. It was just monster. It was scary. It was that big.
We looked over top of the trees, and there was this object there out of nowhere. This great big object. It was about 300 foot wide, the size of a football field hanging over your head, and about 300 foot off the ground.
This thing was 10 foot tall. He had beautiful hair.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to the bonus of the bonus of the Drive-In Underground.
You voted for it, so welcome to the underground.
Yes, we had an extra week this month.
Yes, so
well,
here you go.
Well, an extra Thursday.
It's for you guys, so here you go.
We did it because we love you.
We got the piles of files.
We had to just reach in and grab one, and it wasn't a big deal.
Sorry, I liked that phrase so much from last week, so I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it a lot.
Sorry, I'm such a genius.
You're a poet.
I'm a poet. I didn't know it.
We've used that, too.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh.
I remember because I edit them, so I have to hear it over and over. So, yeah, bonus episode, underground.
Bonus.
So, let's just jump right in those files and you grab one. What you got for
yeah,
me?
Yeah, yeah. All right, Jarrett. You ready? Because we're going to dive right into the Gobi Desert for this
Desert.
One. And we're going to get into the Mongolian death worm.
Oh, a worm, huh?
Yeah.
Like a graboid?
This is what the graboid was based on.
Oh, wow. I love graboids.
And
that's
then,
one
like
of my favorite monsters.
Yeah, that was one of the... I think it was the first episode we did on this podcast.
It was the first.
It was Tremors.
Check it out. Well, I mean, it's a little rough. It's our first episode, but it's a good one. So well,
it's one of our favorite sci-fi movies.
Yes, Tremors. And there's a new one coming out.
Yeah.
Go, Elisa.
But so also this worm is the reason for the season for that SpongeBob episode.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, just these are all things that it's based off of. There's no other like great worm in lore.
I didn't know that. Though.
What is it called? The Alaskan ball worm.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. So I'll show you a picture.
There's a bunch of other worms, though. There's a big worm in Beetlejuice, those sandworms, too.
Probably, yeah. I'm going to attribute it to this.
And Dune has giant
Dune
sand.
Is, yes, it is for sure inspired by this.
So, yeah, lots of cool worms, but Tremors is my favorite.
Yeah, and this goes all the way back long, long ago.
Long ago.
Long ago. Okay. But here, this is a Mongolian death worm, Jarrett.
Ugh. Looks like does it have legs?
No.
Okay. It looks kind of like a big centipede, but without legs.
And then, you know, like it's got a mouth like that.
Ooh, that's gross.
Kind of like the graboid situation, but just like a bunch of teeth.
Like shark teeth.
Oh, wow.
Like a cookie cutter shark, if you know your sharks. You know what I'm talking about.
If you know your sharks, guys.
If you've seen a couple shark weeks, you know.
But so the native name of the Mongolian death worm is the Algoi Hoi Hoi. Algoi Koi Hoi.
Algoi Koi Hoi. Algoi Koi Hoi?
It's Mongolian. Algoi Koi Hoi.
All right.
I heard it, so I know what it sounds like in my head, but you know my mouth is stupid. So
yeah, those
in my head it sounds great.
When we do the kaiju movies, you get a little tripped up on the names sometimes.
Yep.
It's okay.
So
I do too.
The Mongolian death worm, it comes from the natural habitat, is the dry, desolate Gobi Desert. So the creature first came to mass attention when Roy Chapman Andrews, the man said to be the inspiration for Indiana Jones.
Oh, Roy Chapman Andrews.
Very British. In 1962, his book On the Trail of Ancient Man was published.
Oh.
The American paleontologist was not convinced by the tales of the monster that he had heard of at gatherings for the Mongolian officials.
But he'll show, that monster will show him.
Yeah, he kind of got him.
You're not convinced, are you?
So none of, or Mongolian officials said, none of those present, or no, oops, I got confused because he stopped in the middle of my sentence.
Sorry, I always...
No, it's fine. So he said, none of those present ever had seen the creature, but they all firmly believed in its existence and described it minutely.
Oh.
Like every religious person.
Oh, and like most cryptids.
Yeah, most people who believe in aliens, cryptids, yeah. God.
Yeah, yeah, that's perfect.
sounds exactly true. So the worms have been reported to have been about 2 to 5 feet long, red, and are thick. Around.
Thick around.
They're thick around.
Maybe not as thick as they say they are. However thick they are, you gotta subtract 2 inches.
Yeah. There's some thick biz though. But I mean, I like how their sightings have been reported to, also no one claims to have seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
So how does anyone know what it looks like if no one's seen it?
Yeah. 2 to 5 feet long, you said?
Yeah.
What makes them so deathy?
Deathy? Ooh, well, we're getting to that.
Okay.
So the Mongolian Prime Minister, Demdinbazar.
And this is, what date is this?
I'm getting to it. I'm getting to it. Jesus. Mr. Questions. Should call you the Riddler.
I'm the question man.
But in 1922, described the worm as follows. It is shaped like a sausage, about 2 feet long, has no head nor leg, and it is so poisonous that merely to touch it means instant death. It lives in the most desolate parts of the Gobi Desert.
Oh, my God.
So even the prime minister's in on this.
Yeah, so that's like an official report.
I think he just officially said it out loud to like a bunch of people when he was drunk, maybe.
Oh, well.
I don't know if he like wrote it down.
It's not on the flag.
It's not on the docket.
It's not on the coin.
I don't know. I'm not sure there. So in 1987, the book these Mongolian words.
They're going to fucking murder me.
The book Altayn Sadag Ngovd. Ivan Makiril described it as traveling underground, creating waves of sand on the surface, which allow it to be detected.
Ah, tremors.
Tremors.
Smaller, but still, that's like tremors.
Yeah. And more wormy.
Yeah.
Like tremors is more like goopy. I don't know.
Goopy.
Goopy. So the Mongolians say it can kill at a distance. Either by spraying a venom at its prey or by electric discharge.
Wow, that's cool. It's like a Dilophosaurus electric eelworm.
Yeah. And like some people say that it can kill you just by staring at you.
With what? It doesn't have eyes.
Or like the reason like, you know, people die when it's staring at them is because of an electric discharge. But there's a lot of speculation.
Well, yeah, as there is.
So, they say that the worm lives underground, hibernating most of the year, except for June and July, when it becomes active. It is also reported that it most often comes to the surface when it rains and the ground is wet.
Okay. It's going to go terrorize Amity Island, and they're going to have to close the beaches.
No! Get that shark out of here.
They got sharks in the water, and they got worms in the sand.
No! But I just like how the worm likes the ground to be all nice and damp.
That worm is a real diva.
It needs everything
to be perfect.
I know. Oh, it can only be June and July. Oh, it's got to be just the right moisture outside. Oh.
It's nice outside, but it's April. I don't want to be seen at April.
I'm still sleeping. Very sleep. This fucking bitch. The Mongolians believe that touching any part of the worm will cause almost instant death and tremendous pain. It is also believed that the worm frequently preys on camels and lays eggs in its intestines.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it uses camels as its, like, incubator.
Well, it's probably because camels are the only animals that can live in that desert.
Well, they kill them.
I know. That's probably the only thing that they eat.
Ah. It's the only thing they can get to.
Yeah.
To make their egg pouches.
And the stupid humans.
So it's also said the venom is supposedly corrodes metal. And when they spit it, it like is all yellow and shit.
Ooh, kind of like aliens. This thing's like a mishmash of all of our favorite monsters.
Yeah, but it's like from way before any of the monsters. So I think this is one of those things where like a lot of serial killer movies borrow from Ed Gein.
Yeah.
I think this is a lot of monster movies borrow from the Mongolian deathworm.
Yeah, yeah. I think that may be this kind of situation here.
So the Mongolian deathworm equals Ed Gein. So an older woman said about the way it attacks, "I have never personally seen the Olgoya Koigoi," she said, "but I have heard much about it. It is said to move about under the sand, and when it wants to kill someone, it moves half its length out of the sand and starts to inflate. The bubble on its body keeps getting larger, and in the end, the poison squirts out from it." And they like, some people say like the way it attacks, it like inflates and then explodes. Oh, like venom everywhere. So yeah.
I haven't seen it, but it's there.
I haven't seen it, but it explodes.
And it comes down every Christmas Eve with 8 reindeer.
And brings you toys. If you were a good worm. So there's been many investigations throughout the years.
There's actually investigations?
Well, you know, by cryptozoologists.
You
Jared,
know, by.
Not by, like, the government.
Well, the prime minister didn't do much. Well, he's just like, the 20s. It's there. They had guns in the 20s.
Well, did they have them in Mongolia?
You know, I don't find very many uses for guns. Except for monsters.
Except for killing those Mongolian death worms.
Otherwise, I don't need them.
I don't need them except if there's a monster around. So in 1990 and 1992, Ivan Meckerel, who also is known for his work with the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yes, yes.
Synonymous.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course you would know that. So he led a small group of researchers into the Gobi Desert to search for the worm. Inspired by Frank Herbert's novel Dune, in which giant fictional sandworms could be brought to the surface by rhythmic thumping, Meckerel constructed a motor-driven thumper and even utilized small explosive charges in a bid to find the animal. Not successful. No proof. No proof was gained.
Was it like the little rabbit from Bambi, Thumper?
Yeah, he released a bunch of rabbits into the desert, and they just were all thumping. My rabbit when I was a kid used to do that under the couch.
Yeah, and then a worm would come up. And eat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, her name was Thumper.
Oh.
I named her Thumper because she thumped. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
And then my mom threw over the fence.
Oh, fuck.
No, there's a lot of backstory to that statement. Yeah. My mom did not kill our rabbit, and she was putting it into a farm.
She put it into a farm, a real farm, not like a farm upstate. And the fence wasn't like 10 feet tall.
It was like a private farm run by our elementary school. It was like a nice act.
Not like a 10-foot tall fence either.
I like how
this is how I heard the story, at least.
I like how the story started really bad and just kept trying to improve it. But yeah. That was a good story. My mom gave the bunny a better home than being screamed at by a child under the couch.
You're a bunny!
So in 2005, zoological journalist Richard Freeman of the Center for 14 Zoology mounted an expedition to hunt for the death worm, but came up empty-handed. Freeman's conclusion was that the tales of the worm's powers had to be all tall tales.
Oh, yeah.
And that the reported sightings likely involved an unknown species of worm lizard or amphisbian.
Amphisbian?
That's what it says. Amphisbana. Amphisbana.
Oh, maybe.
Amphisbana.
Maybe that's just the species name for like a worm lizard or something.
Or like a worm frog.
Yeah.
But yeah, they said that it was false and it probably is another species, not like a monster worm.
Oh, well, way to ruin it, science.
So a New Zealand television entertainment reporter, David Ferrier of TV3 News, took part in an expedition in August 2009, but came up empty-handed as well. Oh. He conducted interviews with locals claiming to have seen the worm and mentioned on his website that the sightings peaked in the 50s when our good friend Mr. Fake Indiana Jones went.
And got the Ark of the Covenant?
Yep.
Oh.
Exactly. No, and he went up there and talked to those people.
Oh.
That, you know how the story started? Roy Chapman Andrews?
Worms. I hate these guys.
Yeah, but worms. Why did it have to be worms? Why did it have to be worms? That would have been a great movie.
Way better than Aliens. Maybe that's what
it's based off of.
Yeah. Way better than... They should have did Worms instead of Aliens.
They could have done the Mongolian Death Worm.
Better than Crystal Skull.
We're talking to you, Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, you're really stinking up stuff lately.
Stinking it up with your farts. With your movie farts. So a reality television series, Destination Truth, conducted an expedition from 2006 to 2007. So I have a video.
Ooh.
This is the video from an investigation, you know, not unlike the Ghost Hunters. But this one, I think, are actual scientists and they have cameras. This is National Geographic.
Oh.
And it's caught on camera.
It's sad that something on National Geographic doesn't make it legit these days.
Yeah. You can't trust any TV show. I don't know. Okay. So here you go. You can watch it. These are cameras that a researcher set up in where the worm would be. So
where the worm would be?
Yeah, like he was looking for the worm. He was setting up like motion sensor cameras.
And he left them
okay. Overnight.
Okay.
So here, this is like a 2-minute video of the show, just so Jared can everyone, because I thought it was an interesting clip to listen to.
Okay. All right.
Everyone can get a taste.
Okay.
Fetched is the idea of an electricity producing death worm sounds. It's not out of the question. And with any luck,
oh, it looks like Brian Austin Green from Beverly Hills 90210. He does.
Camera trap number one. Let's see. Fingers crossed.
Camera trap number one.
All right, let's see what we got on here. It looks like it's kind of a dusk or dawn type scene. Trap is shaking a little, but doesn't look like anything. Just looks like more grass movement. There's a lizard.
Oh, a lizard.
Oh, very cool.
This guy is way too stoked about this fucking lizard.
A Gobi race runner. He's eating ants and little bugs in front of the camera. Very nice. This is the one near the Goya. Oh, and it's tipped over.
Goya is what they eat, by the way, besides, like, people.
Oh, really? It's completely fried. It's not turning on. I can't scroll through anything. I can't get anything with it.
Probably electrical.
If I wasn't a scientist with a rational mind, I could possibly believe the camera's electrics have been fried by a passing death worm.
Oh, I'm so good at this.
Yeah.
At this bullshit.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Don't walk anywhere, please.
Oh, dramatic zoom in.
Well, the camera's fallen over. It's covered in dirt. There's a couple new holes here that weren't here the other day.
Oh my god.
It looks like something's been digging. Maybe looking for insects or roots or something like that, but they were not here earlier. Hopefully whatever knocked this over was caught by it too. Clouds.
Clouds.
I'm on number 75 and it's all just clouds. I've just gone through 80 something clips of nothing but sky. I get down to number 2. There's only 2 videos left.
Oh my god.
And what I'm looking at, I have no explanation for.
He's so excited.
I haven't watched the clip yet. All I see is the very first frame. And it looks like a chameleon with a huge horn coming off the top of its nose and an eye looking into the camera.
Oh my gosh.
All right, I'm going to watch it.
He's going to watch it.
a cow came over to investigate the camera.
Oh my god. Looks like a chameleon, like with a horn and with the eye. Confused as to what it could be. That's pretty exciting for a second. All right, second one. Oh. I guess they were both the cow.
No, the second one was fried. Oh. The second one was fried. He couldn't get it.
The second one was fried. That must be electrical.
Yeah. And the third one was a cow. And he was like so anxious. He was like, oh my God, what is it going to be? It's a cow.
Like a chameleon. It has a horn and the eyes on the side of its head. Like, oh, it's a cow.
But I like the point that he made after he like made that mistake where he was like, shows you that really anything could look scary if you don't know.
When you're especially when you're looking for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought you would enjoy that.
Oh, I loved it. It was lovely.
What are we going to rate this? Are we going to file it under real or fake? Fake on real. Mm. Boo.
Processing.
No one's seen it.
I know, but I want it to be real. I can't say it's real.
I'm going to say, as I usually say in these cases, half true, half false. I think that there's definitely things that could attribute to what people are afraid of.
Oh, yeah. There's probably reptiles that look like that.
It could be like a skink that people are seeing.
Yeah, some kind of I'm not sure what kind of monitor lizards live out there, but monitors get pretty big and their legs are pretty small.
Snakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure that there's reasons why these people are terrified. Kids could see something like a lizard with no legs or whatever and freak the fuck out and tell their parents something and it just gets passed around till it blows up like monster telephone.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's really the only way that the electricity can come about, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like the electricity and the acid spitting venom thing.
Well, I mean, like, there is a poisonous lizard in Mexico.
The
Gila monster.
Yeah, there's.
So it's like.
It's in Arizona, too. I mean, all over America. Well, not all over, but the Southwest.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's.
It doesn't spit.
It's remotely possible that maybe there is some type of unknown poisonous lizard with no legs.
Doesn't spit, though.
When you've had, like, a traumatic experience because something scared the shit out of you, you remember it way bigger.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Cobras spit.
Maybe it was a cobra. Who the fuck knows? But, yeah, I mean, as always with, like, the cryptids and stuff, it's usually, like, I'm sure that some shit happened.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's not a Mongolian death worm.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there are plenty of things that live under the ground and make holes and craters, but I don't think anything's spitting acid.
No.
So,
all right.
That was a good one. I like that.
Thank you. I thought I would pick something that you would enjoy.
Yes. So, in the spirit of bonus things, bonus episodes, I'm going to give you some bonus Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
We're going back to Bigfoot. This leads us to the tale of Albert Ostman, or Ostman, and when he was kidnapped.
Kidnapped?
Kidnapped. By a family of Sasquatch.
A family?
A family.
Like a mommy and a daddy and a baby?
Two babies? Well, I think they were teenagers. Oh. But we'll get to that. So I call this the Sasquatch kidnapping of Toba, British Columbia.
The Sasquatch babies.
Sasquatch babies. So this all goes back to 1924. Albert Ostman was a construction worker. And he took a little vacation to the forest of British Columbia. He wanted to get away. He had gotten some information that there was a big group of abandoned gold mines.
Oh, so he was like, I'm going to take a vacation and be a creep in some gold mines.
Yeah, he was talking to this Indian, I don't like to say Indian, but... Is Native Canadian?
Oh, Aber... No. Aborigines is Australian. Don't put this in.
I think it's okay to discuss.
I remember they said it on a podcast I'm listening to about like the Highway of Tears.
Trail of Tears?
No.
Oh, it's different?
There's in Canada, there's like this big highway where women go missing and murdered all the time.
Oh, okay.
And they call it the Highway of Tears. No, it's... It begins with an I, I think? No.
Because I
indigenous?
It is indigenous. I guess indigenous people is correct. But I looked up Native Canadian on Google, and it did come up. It was a phrase, but it just doesn't sound right. So I'll just say indigenous people. He talked to this indigenous man. This guy said that he told him about these mines. He's the one that told him about these mines, and he told him this story about this guy. He was an alcoholic, and he would go to these mines every so often, grab some gold, come back down, cash it in, get drunk, go back up to the mines, grab some gold, come back down.
What a life.
I know.
What a life.
It should be like one of those, like the gambler shows, like one of those shows in the 70s where it's just a guy guy living in the woods with a big beard. I don't know.
That'd be a great show and a great life.
Anyway, so yeah, one of these, he eventually said that this guy that was coming up and down, grabbing gold and coming back down, he didn't come back one day. And the indigenous guy, he said that he thinks that he was killed by a Sasquatch. And Albert was like, don't give me your stupid fables. Don't give me. He's like,
Is he French?
I don't believe your fables. That's what he said. This is all from, this is his story. I'm taking from his exact story, Albert's story. He wrote his story in a book named Sasquatch, The Apes Among Us. So this is straight from Albert's mouth. That does not mean it's true. So
yeah.
So yeah, this is all from Albert's mouth. Albert said poo-poo on your old indigenous fables. I'm gonna go get rich.
Poo-poo. Screw you.
Poo-poo on you. This is one of the things he said. This is his equipment that he had. My equipment consisted of one 30-30 Winchester rifle. I had a special homemade prospecting pick. I had a leather case for this pick, which fastened to my belt. Also, my sheath knife. My grub consisted mostly of canned stuff, except for a side of bacon, a bag of beans, 4 pounds of prunes, 6 packets of macaroni, cheese, 3 pounds of pancake flour, and 6 packets of rye king hard tack.
What, like, British-y...
I don't know.
Fancy man would say grub.
I don't think he's British, to be honest.
Oh.
3 rolls of snuff, 1 quart sealer of butter, and 2 1-pound cans of milk, and had 2 boxes of shells for my rifle. See, I don't know what a British Columbian man sounds like, so...
Just Canadian.
Is it like a... I don't think it's like the Midwestern-sounding Canadian. It's because it's a West Coast Canada.
Canadian friends, how do British Columbian people sound? So I'm going to guess it is not British, though.
I'm just going to do my stupid British. he has all that food. That's a shitload of food.
That is a crazy amount of food.
He's just begging for a Bigfoot to come get him.
He's begging for, like, a family of Yogi Bears. That's what he's begging for.
A family of Yogi Bears. Cloned Yogi Bears.
A mama Yogi Bear, daddy Yogi
Bear.
Hey,
Yogi. Yeah, hey, Yogi. Yogi. Yeah, Yogi.
I'm Yogi. Baby I'm Yogi. Yogi.
So he goes on his trip, and around the third or fourth trip, he wakes up to find his things in his camp disturbed. Nothing was taken, but everything was moved. He remembered where he put things. So this is what he says. You have to believe Albert. You have to believe him. The next morning, a package of prunes was stolen. My precious prunes. And a pound of pancake flour. Now, I'm...
What is a Bigfoot going to do with that? Sorry.
I don't know.
Didn't mean...
Maybe they have, well.
I was just so outraged by the fact that he stole pancake flour.
I'm more mad at the pancake flour than the prunes. Albert decided to stick around camp for a few days to catch this guy or animal. He doesn't know what it is yet. Catch the intruder. The next night, he wanted to stay awake and maybe catch it, but he fell asleep right away.
Yeah, you know how you do.
He did end up waking up. He felt some movement. He felt like he was being picked up. Picked up, folks.
Like levitating?
No. Picked up and carried.
Whoa. That's too forward.
Him and his supplies. His pack, his backpack, and all the things because he put some stuff in his sleeping bag so porcupines wouldn't eat it or whatever. But him and his backpack were carried up steep hills and downhill for 3 hours.
Why didn't he, like, get up and be like, put me down?
He was, like, folded in a weird position, he said. It hurt so bad that when he was finally let down, his legs were numb.
Well, yeah, after 3 hours. My legs get numb when I sit on them for 5 seconds.
He tried to see after he was finally let down, it was like in this dark cave type area. And he tried to see what was carrying him, but it was way too dark. But it was obviously huge, and there were chatters all around them. At least 3 more, like I said.
Bigfoot sure liked to chatter.
They like sometimes
every time
they're just chattering away. They don't shut up.
Well, every time we do a story on here, like every one of the sources is like Bigfoot, and they're chattering.
So he's in this alcove. They're keeping their distance. He's in this like alcove, like cave kind of area, and the morning's coming. So he's finally getting a glimpse of these creatures. There's an adult male, a young male, adult female, and a young female. And here's the descriptions. I have them in bold, folks. The young fellow, which he calls them, might have been between 11 and 18 years old, about 7 feet tall, and might weigh about 300 pounds. That sounds like me. His chest would be 50 to 55 inches. His waist, about 36 to 38 inches. Even more like me. He had wide jaws, a narrow forehead that slanted upward, round at the back, about 4 or 5 inches higher than the forehead.
What?
I don't know what that means. That's straight from what he said. The hair on their heads was about 6 inches long. The hair on the rest of their body was short and thick in places. The woman's hair on the forehead had an upward turn like some women have. They call it bangs.
Bangs.
Among women's hairdos. Nowadays, the old lady could have been anything between 40 and 70 years old. She was over 7 feet tall. She would have been about 500 to 600 pounds. She had very wide hips and a goose-like walk.
A goose-like walk?
A goose-like walk. That's a song. Not really. It sounds like it could be. She was not built for... This is a good one. She was not built for beauty or speed.
Ew! What a pig.
It gets better. Some of those lovable brassieres and uplifts would have been a great improvement on her looks and
Oh my god, what a fucking sexist pig. Like, you see a fucking monster that's a female in gender, and you're like, why isn't it wearing tit straps? Like, oh my god.
On top of the sexism, he's like, she could be, like, sexy, though.
I am, like, deeply offended.
Would have been a great improvement on her looks and her figure.
Oh, my God.
The man's eye teeth, his canines, I'm guessing, were longer than the rest of his teeth, but not long enough to be called tusks. The old man must have been near 8 feet tall, big barrel chest and big hump on his back. Powerful shoulders, his biceps on the upper arm were enormous and tapered down to his elbows.
Oh my god.
He's in love with this guy.
I know. But like, okay, so it's fine. Like, this guy can be old and like still hot.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy is such a fucking I'm gonna barf.
Oh, look at his biceps.
He's got the biceps and he's got a big chin. And then he's still got a big swing of cock.
Look at his cock. His cock was longer than, no, I mean, his forearms were longer than common people have, but well proportioned. His hands,
strong hands.
His hands were wide. The palm was long and broad and hollow like a scoop. His fingers were short in proportion to the to the rest of his hand, his fingernails were like chisels. The only place they had no hair was inside their hands and the soles of their feet, the upper part of their nose and eyelids. I never did see their ears. They were covered with hair hanging over them. Here we go. Here's more stuff.
Oh, my God.
The girl would not hurt anybody. Her chest was flat like a boy's. No development like young ladies.
What the? Why is he commenting on the child Bigfoot's tits now?
Keep going. I am sure if I could get the old man out of the way, I could easily have brought this girl out with me to civilization.
What? And now he's going to steal her?
But what good would that have been? I would have kept her in a cage for public display.
Oh my lord.
I don't think we have any right to force our way of life on other people, and I don't think they would like it.
But they love being objectified.
Yeah, he's like, I think I want to take that young one, but it's not right.
It's not right for me to feel this way.
If her father wasn't here, I could if I wanted to.
Oh my God, this is really disturbing. This man should be in prison.
So yes, that's the description that he has in his little story that he gave to this book. So he still has his gun at this point, his hunting rifle, and I'm not sure why he didn't shoot them. He's looking at them. He has it in his hands. And this is a powerful gun. 30-30 is a pretty powerful gun. You take deer down with it. I would have shot him while he was taking me.
You and your need to shoot the big feets.
I wouldn't shoot peaceful big feets.
Well, who knows if these big feets are violent. They just picked them up.
If you're picking me up, then I don't give a shit. Leave me alone. The first night they kept their distance, like I said, with the old fellow watching over the entrance. He gives them old fellow. The young fellow was very curious about Albert, and every day he came closer, chatting about him with his father. He'd like chatty. He'd go up to him. He'd go up to Albert, and then he'd go back to his father and chat.
What the fuck?
One day Albert had enough. It's like, one day, you should be gone already.
Yeah, like, why on the first day did you not just run?
It's like, okay, I'll put up with this for a while. So he grabbed his gun and he started walking towards the entrance. And they stopped him and he started pointing towards the entrance. And the older fellow pushed him back. He said, suka, suka. He said those words. That's what he said. He sounded like he said, suka, suka. So Albert pussed out and sat back down.
Like a puss.
Yeah. Even though he had a gun with 6 bullets in it that could take down a deer or larger. So he tried to maybe formulate another plan. He remembered a story about a guy that was fighting a mean, raging bull, which is not true because bulls are never really raging against somebody. Somebody has made them mad.
Yeah.
And nobody's actually fighting a bull. A bull is fighting for their life. Bullfighting is bullshit.
Bullfighting is disgusting, and we hate it.
Anyways, he remembered a story about a man blinding a bull with a handful of snuff. Now, do you know what snuff is?
Yes.
It's
like tobacco.
Ground up tobacco. Like ground up even more than like regular chewing. So on the six days
of doing this.
He waited the sixth day. Albert thought he was making some progress. He was making friends, maybe. They were coming closer. Mm-hmm. It's like, stop making friends. So he's making tools.
Get out.
He's making little tools for the little ones. Little toys and shit, I guess. And they were basically having family game night with this guy.
Now he's part of the family.
Now he thought, if only I could get the old man, because the old fellow so fixated on the snuff, whenever he would tuck some in his lip or whatever, and he wanted that old man to grab a whole bunch. He wanted the old man to grab it and eat it. Yeah. And just, he thought that would kill him for sure. And
it would kill him?
Yeah, and by the way, he thought, he rationalized this in his head for some reason, if he killed himself, then Albert wouldn't have to kill him, and it wouldn't be murder. It's like, this creature kidnapped you, man. Go home.
Just go. What, are the cops going to come and be like, murder?
People's Court. I don't know why I did People's Court.
Yeah, why'd you do People's Court instead of like CSI?
I wanted to do Law and Order, but I could only think of People's Court.
Jared.
Anyways, People's Court. Settling.
Bigfoot takes Albert to court.
So one morning, Albert made some nice breakfast. He made some Flappy Jackies, some coffee waffies, and the coffee kind of made them come, made that old fellow come closer. He wanted some of the coffee. And Albert had a little pinch of his snuff, and then, just like he thought, the old fellow grabbed the whole box of the snuff. And it wasn't just a can, it was a whole box, and he put the whole box in his mouth, and he was licking it all the corners of the box.
What?
That's what he said. He ate the whole box and he swallowed it. And it only took a few minutes for him to start getting sick. And he was squealing like a piggy, he said.
Wow.
Squealing like a piggy.
I don't understand why this Bigfoot wanted to eat it.
I don't know. He was so fixated on it. And then he said that the Bigfoot old fellow grabbed the coffee, grounds and all, and stuffed that in his mouth, thinking that that would help him, I guess. And that made it even worse. So he put the Bigfoot had his head between his legs, rocking back and forth. Oh. And then he rolled down the hill and then started running towards the spring.
Probably because he needed to take a diarrhea dump.
A diarrhea dump or a big old projectile vomit. I like to think of the diarrhea dump, though.
Diarrhea dump.
So this is when Albert is like, I gotta make a run for it. And then he grabs all that he can, mainly his rifle. So he goes towards the entrance, and then he can hear the big old woman behind him with those big swinging titties. And then he turns around with the gun, and she's there, and he fires the gun at the ceiling. And she cowers and runs away to the back of the tent. So they were scared of the gun the whole time.
He could have just fired the gun in this guy the second that he woke up.
Yep. And he ran away, and he got away. And he didn't tell this story until 1957. He waited, 35 years to tell it. And some people say that's because it's bullshit. And some people... But Albert says it's because people were going to think he was crazy. But I say,
he's crazy.
And that is Albert Ostman's kidnapping. What do we think of the case file?
Bullshit.
Bullshit. At least I pretend to take time on yours.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bullshit.
Okay. All right.
Since it's just an experience itself,
yeah,
I think that this man's very sad and lonely,
mm-hmm.
and he just wanted some attention.
That's possible. Oh, I forgot to show you a picture of him. I'll show you a picture real quick.
Ooh, these guys always are so good.
There you go.
Oh, that's sad.
That's pretty close to what you would think he'd look like, though, right?
Oh, he's so sad.
Yeah. There he is again. He's a prospector man, right?
He is.
Gonna get that gold.
He looks like he would make that story up.
He looks like he'd be the one who's like, that young Bigfoot ain't got titties yet.
Yeah. It looks like the story he would tell because he passed out too long drunk, like up where he was mining gold. And people are like, Amber, where the fuck were you? And he's like, this Bigfoot, he stole me and took me to his home. What? Let me buy you a shot of whiskey to hear this story. And he was like, I'm going to make this all up.
Sounds like he might have took some opium up with him or something.
Yeah.
Have a good time. So, yeah, those are our case files for your bonus episode.
Yeah. I hope you liked them.
Yeah, I know I did.
I'm sad that We have to take a break from underground.
Yeah, me too.
For a normal episode. Well, I guess it's not normal anymore. This is our normal.
Oh, yeah. You guys did a poll for our next episode as well. Yeah. We finally decided that probably, well, it may be still going on, but it may be pretty much well decided. Let me check that real quick. Well, there's an hour and 50 minutes left, but I don't think films featuring MST3K, films featured on MST3K are going to come back because Alien vs. Predator, April, is going to win, I'm pretty sure. Woo! So next month is going to be both Alien vs. Predator movies, which Elisa has not seen.
I have not seen.
So that will be fun. That will be fun. I am a fan of them. Most people are not. So that will be fun.
I'm a fan of Alien.
Yes.
And I'm a fan of Predator.
Yes.
And I've seen Aliens. And I've seen Predator 2.
Yes.
So I don't have hope.
Okay.
Because it just only gets worse the more movies you make.
I think they're just fun. So, yeah, that will be our next regular drive-in episode, and we'll be talking about that. So, yeah, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/sfdfdipodcast.
And at the end of the show, stay tuned for Friends of the Podcast.
Yeah, we got a couple promos you should check out.
Because they're dope, and we love them, so you should love them, too.
Yeah, we'd let them in our bunker if there was some crazy government action or a thermonuclear device or some alien invasions.
When the bomb comes,
yeah, we would allow
a place for you.
Yeah, we would allow these people in there. So that's our show for today.
And we'll see you on the other side.
And don't you forget to praise Godzilla.
Praise Godzilla. Praise. You gotta praise him. You praise our Lord. You praise our Savior.
You reach him into your heart. And you give it to the big man.
And you praise him.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, justaddthat.com. Catch us on Twitter at SFDFDIPodcast.
Hey, Sasha.
Hey, Courtney.
Where can you get hot takes about ghosts, cryptids, farts, and cats?
I don't know. Where?
On our podcast, Spoop Hour.
Oh, that's right.
Each week, we talk about the things that spook us out and we laugh through our fear.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Spoop Hour, and you can listen to our podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or really anywhere else that you get your podcasts. Feel free to also drop us a line at spoophour@gmail.com.
We want to hear about your ghosts.
Thanks.
Hey Meg, are you terrified when you see a large group of people dressed in the exact same outfit?
Usually. Al, are you strangely intrigued by the idea of wearing linen to appease alien overlords?
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself sucked in by documentaries about cults from the 70s?
Absolutely. Do you like your podcasts with wild but educated speculation?
If you've answered yes to any of these questions, check out Can We Cult, hosted by me, Allie.
And me, Megan. We're two cheap wine aficionados / best friends living in Portland, Oregon.
Sure, we have some formal training and we do work in social services, but we got our real knowledge about cults from documentaries, books, Reddit threads, and again, wild speculation.
Every Thursday, a new episode full of scary, sad, and hilarious stories with a whole lot of heart is released.
You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Overcast, as well as on all social media platforms at Can We Cult.
Join us, won't you?
Welcome to Shamblefest.
I'm Jess.
I'm Amber. And we are your one-stop weekly shop for news shambles.
We're a weekly WTF and current events comedy podcast. We drop episodes every Monday morning. Tune in.
Shamble on.